Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to speak this morning about, and he shall direct thy paths. Start in verse 1, Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs offers some practical instruction for us on a variety of areas of everyday living. And this book, though 3,000 years old, is just as valuable and just as applicable today as it was when Solomon wrote these words to his son 3,000 years ago. It's amazing. It's just universal application of this book. And certainly all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine and so forth. But on an everyday basis, and covering the entire book of Proverbs, it has application. Just amazingly how it applies in our everyday lives. Many people read a proverb a day just because of the universal application of this thing. It says here in verse 5, and he shall direct thy paths. Looking out here this morning, I'm pretty sure everybody here this morning professes to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That ought to be the desire of our hearts, that God would be directing my path. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what any mature believer would want? For God to be in control of my life and in control of where my life goes. And he shall direct thy paths. The assurance and the confidence that my life is moving in the direction that God desires for it to be moving. And he shall direct thy paths. Over there in Psalm 23, again a very well-known passage of Scripture and applicable to us as well. It says in verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The thought of God directing, and God directing for a purpose in our lives. This passage instructs us how we can have that direction of God in our lives. Number one, trust in the Lord, as it says in verse 5. But folks, think about this. Trust alone is not enough. A lot of people put trust in things that is foolish. We're to trust in the Lord. That's where a specific direction that our trust needs to be placed, a specific one who our trust needs to be placed in. Look at Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28, 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I got to be careful about trusting my own heart. That's the tendency of man. That's our nature, is to put our confidence in ourselves. But he says the one that does that's a fool. My trust needs to be in the Lord. Look at chapter 30 and verse 5 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Nahum chapter 1. Clear back to the end of the Old Testament. Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. And go back to Jeremiah chapter 17 now. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 8, or verse 7. Jeremiah 17, 7. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The trust in the Lord. Over and over again, the Scriptures indicate the importance, the essential, the necessity of putting our trust in Him, the importance of doing that. Trust in the Lord. And as I said, I looked out here and most everyone, if not everyone here, professes salvation. That's the first place. We trusted Him to save our souls. We trusted Him to take away our sins. We trust Him with our eternal future. If you're saved this morning, that's what you did. You put your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Not this church, not me, not anything that you do, but in Him and Him alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. It's only through Him. But sadly, too many Christians stop right there. We put our trust in Him for our salvation, our hope of eternal life. And yet we go on living the rest of our lives with us directing, with us being our trust. We need to go on and trust God in every area of our lives, throughout our lives. If we desire Him to direct our paths, we must trust Him. Look at Psalm 118, Psalm 118 and verse 8. Psalm 118 and verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in judges. That's where our hope needs to be, folks. This world system will let you down. John Huss, a early Bible translator back, I forget exactly when he lived, about 1200 A.D., something like that. But he had, the Catholic Church, of course, was in control at that time, and he was persecuted for what he was doing. His desire was to get the Word of God into the hands of the common people. During that time, the Catholic Church was confiscating all the Scriptures they could because they didn't want the people to have access to the Scriptures. And he had the promise of a king that he would be delivered safely somewhere if he would surrender. He put his trust in that prince, that king. You know what happened? They arrested him and they killed him. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. He quoted that verse after his arrest. God needs to be our hope, our trust in everything that we do. Look at Psalm 115, verse 9. Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, Trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We need to trust Him. Are you trusting Him this morning? Is your trust in God today? Or is it in you, your job, your abilities, your talents, your savings, whatever the case may be, your government? Where's your trust this morning? Trust in the Lord. Secondly, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, it says in verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3. Nothing held back. There's a story told about a 75-year-old man, and they were celebrating his birthday and just doing some special things. And one of the things they wanted to do, he lived in West Virginia, had never traveled very far from his home, and so somebody got this idea, well, let's take him for a ride in an airplane, so he can get an aerial view of the area where he has grown up and lived all of his life. And he was a little bit concerned about that. Never been in an airplane before. They got him up and they flew him around for about a half an hour or so and got back down. And they said, well, what'd you think? Were you scared? And he says, well, I never put all my weight down. That's the way some Christians live their lives. We put our faith and trust in Him for our salvation. But we're not putting our weight down with the rest of our life. You think, how foolish that old man would do that and think that, you know, he'd be preserving himself somehow. Not trusting God with our lives is just as foolish. Sit back and enjoy the ride, Christian. Trust in God with all thine heart. You look at Joseph. Despised by his brothers, sold into slavery. He goes on through that thing and he gets over into Egypt and he just, you know, what's he going to do? He just does the best he can in the situation. And he rises up to a level of trust in Potiphar's house. But then things kind of go sour and he ends up in jail. What's he do? He makes the best of the situation. Again, rises to a level of trust in jail. Gets betrayed a couple more times by people that said that they would speak for him before the king. But ultimately, God gets him out and places him as second in command in Egypt over everything. To the point where Pharaoh doesn't even know what's under his care. People come to Pharaoh and they're asking about stuff. And he said, talk to Joseph. He takes care of that for me. I don't know what I've got. I don't know what we're given for these commodities, this land and so forth. Talk to Joseph. That's his deal. I'm just being king over here and playing my own little game. Joseph takes care of everything for me. Second in command. And then his brothers come and visit. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Verse 14. His brothers have come now and their father's dead and they're fearful about what the consequences are going to be because of their betrayal of him. Verse 14 of Genesis 50. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, and he and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father after he buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now that Dad's out of the way, he's free to do what he wants. And he's in a position of power that we are under his control. And he can do whatever he wants. Verse 16, they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. You know, oh, we're sorry. Please forgive us. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought to do evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. There's a man that trusted God with his life. In spite of the circumstances. In spite of the idea that from a man's perspective, things had gone pretty sour. Sold by as a slave by your brothers. Then betrayed and imprisoned wrongfully. I'm not sure I'd handle that real well. Because I know I don't handle some things in my own life nowhere near matching that too well at times. But there's a man who was trusting God with all his heart. That God could do whatever he wanted with him. And he said, All right, God. I'm relying upon you to be directing my paths. And he got to the place where he could look back on that thing. He says, Thank you, Lord. You did this to provide a place for my family. With all thine heart. Man, I want to write some letters to some lawyers and some judges right now. You know what's God saying? Who you trust in. What I can do. Or what God can do. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to trust God with this thing. And there's probably some things in your lives right now that you need to trust God with all your heart. Regarding those things. Number three, we need to trust the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, that's rough. But God! No. Remember Joseph? Lean not to thine own understanding. God had a purpose in the life of Joseph that no man could have figured out or understood or foreseen. God was doing something there that only he understood. And Joseph and everybody else had to lean upon God and not on their own understanding in that thing. And until the whole event played out, it didn't become clear to anyone except God. What makes you think your life would be any different? There's things in your life that God is trying to accomplish, that God wants to do, and you can't figure it out. Because it doesn't make any sense, humanly speaking. Because God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, as it says in Isaiah 55. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. We'll never figure it out. You'll never understand it until it's all over and you see the entire picture. Then it becomes clear. Boy, that goes against the grain of everything, our education, our culture, our human nature. But God says, you trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But it just doesn't make sense, God. So, don't be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham a couple of weeks ago, I watched that thing, and I was not real... I wish Ken Ham had done a better job in some areas, but Bill Nye didn't really show himself very well either, I don't believe. But you look at that thing, and you realize, you know what? They are never going to understand it till they trust Him. It's foolish. How could this be? You can't explain this. Well, no, we can't. But neither can you. But you won't humble yourself before God. You won't accept some foolish things that God could just speak and bring into existence all that it is. That doesn't make sense. That's a foolish thing that is accepted by faith. We need to trust Him. God chose the foolish things of this world that no flesh should glory in His presence. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Not in my own understanding, but in God. And there's peace in that. Perfect peace, He promises. Number four, trust in the Lord by acknowledging Him in all thy ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Not just in church. Not just in your devotions. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. We like to segment our lives too often times. This is God's, and this is mine. God says, in all thy ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. When you start separating things out like that, God says, okay, go ahead. I'll be here when you're ready for the pieces to be picked up and put back together again. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. A full recognition of Him in all of my life, every area of my life, everything that I'm doing, every choice that I make. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Not just in the times of crisis, but when things are going good. That's probably one of the hardest times to continue to acknowledge Him. Because we don't need God then, do we? We can just put it on automatic pilot till the mountain arises in front of us. And then, hey, God! Better have been prepared before the mountain arose. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Not just for the significant things and the difficult times in our lives, but even in the routine, in the mundane, God wants to be acknowledged in our lives. In everything that we do, that God is included as a part of it. That God is there with me and directing me. That would keep us away from a lot of sin. That acknowledging God in everything in my life. Okay, God, I'm going to do this. Oh, are you? Well, maybe I shouldn't do that. That God be in control of everything in our lives. Look at Psalm 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And as we acknowledge Him in all our ways, then we will have God to direct our paths. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Let's start in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. God says, I'll take care of them. It's frustrating at times. We look and we see some of the evil and the wicked that goes on without any consequence, it seems like. God says, you don't worry about that. I'm going to deal with that, He says. Don't you fret yourself about those evildoers. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's what I need to worry about. Trust Him. Acknowledging Him in all my ways. Trusting Him with all mine heart. And doing good. Doing right in His sight. As it said in Psalm 23, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Again, Joseph. Joseph trusted Him. It wasn't right away. A number of years, probably about 15 to 20 years passed from the time, I think he was about 17 when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he was in his 30s when they came down to Egypt. That's a long time when you stop and think about it. But look what God did when He trusted him through those 20, possibly 20 years. It's not easy. But it's worth it. Trust Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Drop down to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and He shall direct thy paths. Psalm 73. Look at Psalm 73. This whole psalm is a psalm of David as he begins looking around him. Well, look at verse 2. Gives you the idea here. He says, but as for, well, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He's saying, what's going on, God? Why are they getting away with it? But down to verse 24. Let's read on here first. Verse 6, therefore their pride cometh, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, His people return thither, and waters of full cup are wrung out at them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Basically just shaking their fist in the face of God. And they, verse 12 or 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Why, God? For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of the children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You ever been there? God, I don't understand. Why am I having to endure this? And the wicked just wander on through life without a care in the world. Spitting in your face, using your name in vain, and nothing happens. Verse 15, if I say I shall speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. That's why over in Psalm 37 he said, fret not thyself against evildoers. David's trying to figure out in his own, And he's struggling with this whole concept. But he says, then I went into the sanctuary of God. I got alone with my God and poured my heart out to him in this complaint. And God pulled the scales away from my eyes. He says, I went into the sanctuary of God. And then understood I their end. See, folks, this life is not it. This is just what leads to that. And for them, this leads to that. Then understood I their end. Surely, verse 18, thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou wakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Get this thought. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. The picture of a father taking his child's hand. Come on, son. I'll walk you through here. Like Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's got my hand. He's got hold of my hand. And he's going to take me safely through that thing. Whatever it be, even that valley of the shadow of death, he's going to safely bring me through. Is grieved as he looks upon this and realizes how foolish his complaint has been. Because in the end, it's all going to be fixed. The scores are going to be settled. And the wicked are going to receive their just dues. And God's people will be rewarded for how we have trusted with all our hearts, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him and having him direct our paths. And he comes to verse 24 and he says this, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. He not only understood their end, he understood his end. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw nigh to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. To come through that thing, and like Joseph, you get to the end. And as the light bulb comes on, the scales drop off. That's what you were doing, God. To thank him and to praise him and to testify to others of what God has done. That's the path that God's directing us on. For our lives to be used to glorify him. And as we do that, we will be rewarded when we get to glory. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, in the weakness of our flesh, so oftentimes it's difficult to trust you with all our hearts, to not lean on our own understanding, and thus we fail to acknowledge you in all our ways. God, I believe it's a desire of everyone here to have you to direct their paths. Help us, Father, to trust you more completely. To know and to sense the grasp of our hand in yours. And even when the path is dark, the way is frightening, to trust you to be leading us through it, God. You've promised us you would never leave us nor forsake us. God, may that confidence and that promise help us to trust you more completely. And that our lives will be a testimony to you, to glorify and honor your precious and your holy name, which is deserving of all our praise and glory and honor. God, I pray you'll challenge the hearts of your people this morning with this message. Help us, God, to trust you more. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.